We continue the Shir Sichai Sanan, Sayings of the Beit Hazal. We are on Sif Kuf Lamed Vav, paragraph 136. We continue the Shiurim that relate to the Tedas and the Kutei Maran. Teda Kuf Ayin Beis, chapter 172 of the Kutei Maran. The Beit Hazal speaks there about the topic of items that affect the person. Shortages that a person suffers, as for example, a shortage in parnasa, in earning. Person doesn't have a job, chas v'sholom, his business is not doing too well, or a person's health is chas v'sholom failings, or he doesn't have children, but he does have children and has no nachas from them, chas v'sholom. In other words, what is missing, obviously, is one word, shefa. The blessings from heaven, which always come down, somehow are not reaching him. What is the reason for this shortage of shefa? What is the obstacle that blocks this shefa from making contact with him? This Rabbein Hazal reveals in the Kutei Maran. Rabbein Hazal says the fault lies with the person himself. Because, fact, the shefa is the ray, the light that comes from Hashem. This is a ray that is constant. The light of Hashem is always shining. In that light, there is shefa of every kind. There is health, there is wealth, there is nachas, there is all as good. Now, this is a ray of light. What item is it that blocks a ray of light? Something that causes a shadow. If something blocks light, you notice that a shadow is caused by it. So what is that which causes a shadow? Something tangible, something materialistic. A solid, concrete item in front of light causes a shadow. Now, to say tangible, materialistic, that means that the person himself is more materialistic than spiritual. He is concerned more with his body, with material, monetary items, but he is concerned with his soul, and therefore he becomes entirely a solid, concrete item. A solid material item. This causes a shadow which blocks the light, which is the shefa, the blessing of Hashem. Now, what generally causes a shadow, as we said, is something solid. Place a solid before something which is spiritual. A light, a ray of light, is not something tangible. You cannot touch it. For example, too, the rays of the sun, the brightness, the sunlight. If you place a board or a stick in front of that sun, you'll notice a shadow because there is something material, solid, blocking the spiritual light of the sun. Now, the sun itself could also cause a block. There also be an obstacle formed in the way of something much higher. The sun could blot out the heaven. Heaven is higher than the sun. And so on, still further up. The higher you go, whatever is higher is more spiritual, whatever is lower is more material, more physical. Now, it means then that what causes the shefa, the light of Hashem, to be blocked, to be closed off? The person himself. The person himself is that thick. He's that materialistic that he causes a shadow which blocks this light of Hashem from reaching him. What is the solution? How do you remove this shadow? How do you remove this obstacle when the obstacle is the person himself? The answer is, the Beit Hazal says there, the person should be mevatel himself. He should make himself non-existent, nullify his own existence, make himself completely non-existent, ayin to nothing. When that person is non-existent, nothing will block the rays of Hashem and the Shefa. So this is the Eitzah. Non-existent means that a person should consider himself nothing, completely devoid of any value, which means complete humbleness. This is what the Menadol says there. Here in the Sifas, Menadol adds, he says to clarify further, Menadol explained that which is orally, that which is not mentioned openly in the Kutei Maran, this is added here. And it'll explain what is meant by a person nullifying himself, making himself null and void, How does a person make himself disappear? We're speaking about the physical part of a person. Spiritual, of course, remains. How does the physical part of a person disappear when you have a whole body, complete body of 248 organs, and a body consists of, is comprised of, completely physical components? How do you remove these physical components? Then, as I'll explain, this means that a person should nullify, make void, every type of physical desire, every type of physical characteristic that is bad, that is evil, that is against the neshama, against anything holy, and do this bit by bit. For example, a person has an evil taiva, a desire, whether the desire is for something illegal, women, has to show a desire for money, desire for money for the sake of money itself, which means something physical. Person who overcomes this desire, removes it, then he becomes much purer. Purity means he has removed the physical part of him, the evil physical part, and now he has become spiritual, become like a tzaddik, like an angel. More so, the Bein Hillel says, when a person removes the midas, the midah means character. For example, a person who possesses jealousy. You can't feel jealousy. Person possesses gaiva, conceit. A person possesses kas, temper, a heated temper. These items are not tangible, but they can fill a person completely. They are not tangible, yet they are the most physical things out. Proof, there is no jealousy, there is no anger, there is no haughtiness in heaven. This is the reason why the Torah was given to the Jews on earth. Because the mitzvah of removing these things cannot be applied to angels. But these items, these bad midas, make a person physically thick. It thickens a person. There is no spiritual part in the person. There's nothing pure there. A person's whole being is filled with this characteristic of jealousy or anger, temper that burns within him. That burning temper removes. Remember we had, the Tehillim of Be'el says, a toraf nafshei. The anger can actually rip apart the person's soul, meaning it removes the spiritual. In its place, there is only the physical, which creates solid wall between the self and the Shefa of Hashem. When a person wants to be sure receiving the Shefa, he should make a void, remove these items of the physical, the evil items. Bein Hillel continues in that Teda that, for example, Tedef Nafshai, what is the result of anger? Result is that if there is any shefa of money that is due to come down to this person, even though it was fated, he should earn a certain amount of money. On that day he's about to earn it, that blessing is about to come. Bein Hillel says there is placed before him the test, temptation of kas, and the person, even sometimes knowing that this kas could destroy his chances for the earnings, would, out of lack of self-control, lose his temper and thereby lose this shefa. This refers to all the midas rois, all evil characteristics, where because of kas, a person can lose his monetary gains, can lose shefa of livelihood. Because of gaiva, a person could lose more. A person could lose his health, chas v'sholom. A person could actually lose his children. A person could cause illness to children because of these evil characteristics. And why? There is no sickness or loss of money coming down from heaven. There is only good. Only good emanates from heaven. Hashem sends down a ray of goodness. If that ray is blocked and that goodness is missing, in its place, of course, when the goodness is gone, there is only suffering. So all the suffering that comes to a person is only due to his own actions. Because he has thickened himself, made himself materialistic, this has made him lose out on the shefa from heaven. Thereby, he has lost all the good and suffers the yisudim, the suffering, the anguish that comes because of this shortage. It is very noteworthy to point out, question could be raised, note there are the shoyim, very evil people walking the streets who are so vicious and so cruel and so evil, they have no good midas, They have no good characteristics, no sense of religion, and yet they are so successful in business, they're so successful in crime. How come they're so wealthy and very healthy too? The answer is that these are Isha Shomu Lebola Varosai. King Solomon the Wise says there is a double kind of patience on the part of Hashem. Hashem has patience, unusual patience. Patience when we see that a tzaddik suffers at the hands of a rasha, and we ask, how does Hashem tolerate this? Why doesn't Hashem strike down this rasha? The answer is Hashem has patience. Tzaddik's goodness, the tzaddik's reward, will wait. Hashem wants to give this tzaddik the reward in Olam Haba, eternal reward. Hashem will wait to give it to him then, though the tzaddik could use it now, but Hashem knows better. Second kind of patience is with a rasha. Rasha was very evil. Hashem says, I'll wait with his punishment. Rather than strike him dead now, let him continue with his evil. But no, there is a day of reckoning. And when that day of reckoning comes, Chas HaShalom, then there is no mercy. Hashem pays then. But patience is on this earth. While a person is alive, Hashem has patience with a rasha for two reasons. One, he is that bad that Hashem says, I will wait to punish him there where the punishment is real. Secondly, sometimes Hashem says, I will wait because I have patience rather than punish him and destroy him. I will give him another chance. He is still alive. He may yet do tshuva. He may yet repent, but may become a great tzaddik. Why destroy a potential great tzaddik? Of course, though Hashem knows the future, this is not our affair. Hashem knows whether the person will repent or not. This is a cheshbon in heaven. We cannot delve into the depth of the reckoning in heaven. These are the reasons why we might see exceptional cases. Cases where tzaddik v'daloi, tzaddik who is suffering, though he is good, though he has avoided all his characteristics that were evil, tzaddik who has no evil within him, he is kind and benevolent and soft-spoken, and wouldn't hurt anyone, will extend himself to the utmost, and yet he is suffering. Where is his wealth? Where's that ray of sunshine? Where's the ray of shefa? And then we see an usher who is so evil, he's complete feck boor, and yet he has so much wealth and so much goodness come to him. The reason is because of the patience of Hashem, and secondly, because as the Zayin HaKadosh says, because of the fact that we cannot judge people today. This was mentioned many times, but Isaiah HaKadosh itself repeats it so many times, so we are permitted to repeat it too. The secret that is left unanswered in the Gemara. The Gemara itself says that Moshe Rabbeinu was taught the entire Torah, and one thing was missing, the last degree of wisdom that he begged Hashem to reveal to him, 50th degree. The Gemara says, what was this last degree of wisdom? What was missing? What was so high and so deep that they should have pleaded for this last drop? Last drop was that one question. Hashem, why is it that a tzaddik suffers on this world and a rasha enjoys this world? Even though we may see that a tzaddik is perfect, complete tzaddik. You can't say it because of the fact that the sins he has are being paid for in this life. He doesn't have any sins, yet he's suffering. How come that a rasha who never did a mitzvah in his life is still enjoying good life? You can't say because his mitzvahs are being repaid here, and he'll suffer and get hanum there. He never did a mitzvah in his life, and yet he has a very happy and successful life. This was the question asked by Moshe Rabbeinu. This answer is not revealed in the Gemara. Zayin HaKadosh comes forth with this answer, of course, together with Moshe Rabbeinu. Shimon Yochai is all together. Moshe Rabbeinu come forward with the answer. True answer is the one that answers completely, satisfactorily, this outstanding question. The answer is that we cannot see, we means the ordinary mortal cannot see through a person. You look at a person, with your eyes you see a tzaddik. With your eyes you see a perfect tzaddik. You see this person is so pure and so innocent, and you've watched him and witnessed his actions from the time of his birth until the last day of his life.
And there are people who've been with him constantly and will testify, will vow, will swear, this person was a pure and perfect tzaddik. They will see others who are complete in the show. They will swear that this person never did a mitzvah in his lifetime. He lived a life of sheer evil, malicious, vicious type of evil to his fellow man and to Hashem. Yet, how come? Because what you see is not the truth. You think you see a complete tzaddik. You think you see a complete rasha. That is not so. You're looking at a person with an age that you know up to a certain limit. You're looking at a person who is 20 years old or 50 years old or 70 years old. Your eyes, that's his age, and that is not true. That's the age that you see. Actually, this person is a Gilgal. The person you're looking at is not living here for the first time. He has been in this world before more than once. Therefore, his true age could be 500 years. He lived here 10 times before, or 1,000 years. That's how he is judged in heaven. True that during this lifetime, this person was a perfect tzaddik. For these 70 years he was here, he never did one thing wrong in his life. How come that he doesn't have this ray of shefa, blessings of Hashem? Because he is now paying not for the sins of this lifetime, but for the sins of the past life or lives previously. Therefore, this perfect tzaddik is not really a perfect tzaddik if you take him in the true perspective of his full lifetime of 500 or 1,000 years. He's continuing the payment, the punishment for his sins of earlier years. The Russia that you see enjoying life, complete Russia, in the past Gilgulim did certain mitzvahs, which he's being paid off now. This is the pure, clear answer to this question, and not revealed until you come to the Zohar Kodesh itself. But it is so clear that it completely removes this most complex, most perplexing question of all times. And so we're speaking now about the average, the majority, most cases, normal cases, Rabbein Adol says that a person who wants Shefa, that he's sure of getting it, sure meaning a vast majority of cases, if he removes himself physically, it leaves only the spiritual, removes the evil within himself, which is physical, then he will find that he does not create a shadow or an obstacle, or receive the full blessings from heaven, to enjoy a life of happiness physically and spiritually. Rabbein Adol tells us in relation to Teda Reish Dalet, chapter 204 in Likutei Maran. There Rabbein Adol speaks about, again, we first bring the statement in Likutei Maran, then we bring the additional commentary in the Sichas here. There Rabbein Adol says that tzedakah is a very great mitzvah, one of the greatest mitzvahs possible, naturally. Tzedakah tatzal imavus. Tzedakah can save a person from death. Can save a person from eternal death. Can save a person from Gehenna. Could accomplish so much in purifying the person. It's one of the best things for the sake of gaining wealth. You give maaser, you guaranteed wealth. You give tzedakah, you have a chance to have your sins erased. Coupled with tshuva, tzedakah is the key to everything. It is so great, but it depends upon to whom this tzedakah is given. There are different levels, different degrees in giving tzedakah. A person might give tzedakah charity, but he might be wasting his money because he might be giving it to a false kind of charity. It draws the precious dollars of tzedakah from unsuspecting Jews who could buy with that money treasures, heavenly treasures. They gave it to the right kind of tzedakah. Here they are told, give thousands, tens of thousands, large sums of money, but all go to waste. He won't say there's no mitzvah at all because there is a mitzvah to help cure sick animals. And so we can understand then that the difference in the value of giving tzedakah is very great. $1 to the right place in tzedakah is certainly equal to more than $1,000 to a place that is royal, a place that is practically meaningless. Rabbein Adol says that giving to tzedakah is a very great mitzvah. But to a Talmud Chacham to give to a skelev, a learned tzaddik, a learned sage, then the mitzvah of tzedakah is far greater. In fact, we don't have to call it tzedakah. Giving that money, money is mo'os. Mo'os, money given to a Talmud Chacham, is greater than the mitzvah of tzedakah, is greater than the mitzvah. Now we have two items. Ner mitzvah, v'teira er. Mitzvah is called candle, teira is called light. A candle without a light is worthless. You have to have the light to ignite it. So therefore it says, le'am ha'aretz chosid. Person must have the teira. Now Maris cannot really be a chos, cannot really perform mitzvahs because it's mitzvah that's not alive. You need the light of the teira to ignite this candle. Of course, the light of teira alone is not sufficient. You can't have a fire without something to hold it, to contain this fire, which is the candle. You must have both. But teira is higher than mitzvah. Now, tzedakah is a mitzvah, true, but giving money to a Talmud Chacham is greater, because teira is greater than mitzvah. How is teira greater than mitzvah? The Gemara tells us that if a person does a mitzvah and then he commits a sin, it is possible that the sin will erase the mitzvah. Of course, after a person dies, or a separate account's given, the person is punished for sins, rewarded for his mitzvahs, the two do not meet. But during a person's lifetime, this doesn't hold true. The fact is, during his lifetime, there are exchanges made, there are cancellations. A person that performs a mitzvah, he does a sin, the sin cancels out the mitzvah. A mitzvah, yes, but Gemara says, Ein aveda mechaber teira. Aveda mechaber mitzvah, a sin can extinguish a mitzvah, but the Ein aveda mechaber teira, but a sin cannot extinguish the light of teira. The word the Ein aveda mechaber teira, first letters are mo'os, money. This is money that is given to a Talmud Chacham, is not a mitzvah, it is teira. It is teira, this mo'os, and it is so powerful that a sin, no matter what sin a person does, cannot erase this act, this money that's given to a Talmud Chacham. This Rabbeinu Zohar reveals in the Likutei Moharan. Here, the Sichos, Nosson Zal says that what was omitted there is a story Rabbeinu Zohar told to illustrate this statement. The story told by Rabbeinu Zohar before he spoke of this teira was about two very close friends. Two Jews were very close friends. There was a strong bond of friendship between them. They were neighbors. They lived close to each other. They helped each other constantly. Till one day something occurred that severed this friendship. One Jew saw the second one secretly. He saw him do something wrong, something that was not fit for a Jew to do, something that was sort of illegal. And this, he lost confidence in him. He lost his feeling of friendship, his appraisal for his goodness. He cooled off. But he still remained tied to him. Of course, the reason was he felt that I must judge him for the good, because it could be this was an accident, and it was something to justify this act. A short time later, he witnessed his friend commit an actual sin, very serious sin. At this point, he decided he is a Rasha, he is evil, I cannot be with him anymore. The Gemara says, stay away from a Rasha, because he could drag you down too. So this Jew left his friend, and they parted completely. Time passed. This Jew who left began to go down. His business began to dwindle. He became poorer and poorer until he became a pauper. And from afar, he noticed that his friend, the other Jew, had committed a sin, was becoming wealthy. He earned money, and he had wealth. And he felt in his heart, he felt that there was no justification for this. Where is justice in heaven? After all, his conscience could tell him that he did not commit any sins, at least not a sin of that magnitude, and his friend did commit a sin that's so serious. Why should he suffer poverty while his friend the sinner should be wealthy. This does not relate, of course, to the topic we just had. It's a general statement that covers a person's lifetime. Besides, this person might not have learned that Zayde Kodesh. In any event, he was Misrae, which means that in his mind, he felt a resentment towards heaven. He complained as to the heavenly justice that existed. Short time later, he had a vision. He saw a group of what seemed like spirits or angels who were counting money that he could overhear was being counted for his friend, his friend's money. He approached them and he asked them if he could have an explanation. It's a question that's been burning within him for so long. He wants to know how come that all this money belongs to his friend when his friend committed a sin that was so serious. He himself is suffering such poverty. Where is justice? These angels replied, "We'll tell you. What you're not aware of is the fact that when you separated from your friend, you neglected the study of Torah. You didn't commit sins, but you abstained from the study of Torah. While your friend immersed himself in the study of Torah constantly, true, there was a sin. Possibly he was caught up in it. Possibly he couldn't avoid this. But at least he spent his time in the study of Torah, completely absorbed in the study of Torah. And fact remains that a sin erases a mitzvah. But a sin cannot erase the study of Torah. No matter what sin a person commits, no matter what sin your friend committed, it cannot extinguish the Torah which he studied. If it does not extinguish that Torah, what is the result? The angel said that the result is the first letters of those words, Be'ein Aveda Mechaba Torah. Let us make up the word mo'is, money. And therefore, this money is the result of his studying Torah, despite the fact that there was a sin. Because Ein Aveda Mechaba Torah. This story Aben Ezel told prior to the lesson of the Kutei Maran, and this, of course, enlightens us as to the background of that Torah, and also a very important lesson for ourselves to know that the value of Torah is so great, so extraordinary, that no matter what a person does, a person can be sure that Torah will eventually drag him out of the mire, out of the lowest depth. A person might descend and might fall lowest possible depth if he does not desert, abandon his study of Torah. Will be sure that eventually he'll come back. Because Torah protects a person, Torah shields a person from complete destruction by the Yitzhar and by the Sotor, even to the extent that a person can retain his wealth, and have wealth through Torah alone. The mitzvahs that a person does could be erased by a sin, but not Torah. Torah itself is, in a word, indelible. There's no way of eradicating, erasing the record of a person's study of Torah. For this we know the cases of great Ge'inim who were misnagdim, who were against Tzaddikim, committed the worst possible sins, and yet the Torah that they had studied came to their assistance in the heavenly court. It was the power of the study of Torah which rescued them from Gehenna. It was saved through the study of Torah. Find even the roughest case of all, case of Rabbi Meir's, Meir Balanes had a Rebbe whose name was Elisha ben Abuya, who was also named Acher. Long story, we once had it in detail. Acher, who was so great a Rebbe, he was the Chaver of Rabbi Akiva. And together with Rabbi Akiva, they ascended to heaven to visit the inner recesses of heaven. Whatever occurred caused Acher to lose his faith, and Acher became a complete atheist. That's why he was called Acher instead of his regular name. Acher means something else, not the tzaddik, the lamed that he was. He lived a life of apikorsis, of atheism, and the Gemara says when he finally died, time came to pay for his sin of atheism, of a disorder. He came to the heavenly court, He came to the heavenly court. They found that he deserved punishment for breaking all the major laws of the Torah, including Chilul Shabbos. They tried to put him into Gehenna, and they could not. The heavenly court did not have the power to put him into Gehenna. Because Acher had studied so much Torah during his lifetime, the Torah acted as a shield. It was an asbestos coat that would stop the flames of Gehenna from getting to him. Even one, to that extent, of kefina of atheism, still the Torah was strong enough to shield him from a doom that would have been eternal. Until the rest of the story, of course, Meir came into contact with Yochanan, who eventually saved him. Saved him, that is, got him to Gan Eden. But meanwhile, Gehenna alone could not get to Acher because of the study of Torah. This is the power of Torah. That's why each person should appraise the value of Torah. Understand, if you ever have a question of choice, selecting between going to an important game, by a World Series, whether it's sports or any other kind of enjoyment, or spending an hour on the study of Torah, to know which one to select. Ubacharta b'chayim, select the path of life. I know that the time spent in the study of Torah is an investment that will pay off forever afterwards. There is no mitzvah that can compare to Torah, because a mitzvah is a unit, one single unit. The person does a mitzvah, he has one mitzvah to his credit. Person studies Torah, he could have hundreds or thousands. Every single word of Torah that he studies is a separate mitzvah. It's classified as a separate mitzvah, and the greatness of that mitzvah, of course, is the Elisha. We cannot measure that. The fact is that there's nothing in this world that can compare to the reward of a mitzvah. If you take all a possible reward to this world, it is not sufficient to pay for one single mitzvah or one single word of Torah. Then again, of course, pays to reiterate, repeat, and distress the words of the Arizal. But even in Torah itself, there are different levels. Every mitzvah that a person does creates a malach, an angel. The larger the mitzvah, the greater the mitzvah, the stronger, larger, and more powerful the angel. The greater the mitzvah, that means a person who studies Torah, which is bigger than a mitzvah, has bigger angels. In Torah itself, too, depending upon what kind of Torah you study, which phase of Torah, that's the type of angel you have. Arizal says that we have an angel that comes from Elam HaAsiya, the lowest of the worlds, angel that corresponds to Elam HaYetzirah, Elam HaBriya, Elam HaTzilus, the highest possible world, where an angel there is far greater than many angels combined below. Elam HaTzilus corresponds to the topic of Kabbalah, the Zayin HaKodesh. One word there is greater than many words, many hours of study at a lower level. Just as learning about stories of tzaddikim is one of the highest possible mitzvahs. That's why the Gemara is so filled with these fascinating stories of the Tanoim and Amidoim, because this is the greatest purification for a person's neshama. And that's why, very fittingly, we said these paragraphs go in sequence. The very next paragraph, Rabbeinu Zal speaks about the importance of stories of tzaddikim. What does this accomplish? First place, a person sometimes has a mind that is dull. What causes a mind to become dull or not sharp? Because a person cannot grasp things well, a person cannot think clearly, a hazy mind. This is due to the fact that the mind is impure. Impure thoughts dull the sharpness of the brain. A person, in order to purify his thoughts, to clear the smoke from the brain, clear these impure thoughts, this can be done through stories about tzaddikim. By listening to stories about tzaddikim, this is the greatest purifying process for a person's mind and brain. In addition, it takes a person a lot of action to elevate himself. A person is on a certain level, a low level spiritually. Serving Hashem, he finds that he has accomplished very little. He'd like to climb, to rise up to a higher level, the Avodas Hashem. But of course, this can be done with a lot of difficult service. Some go as far as fasting, others go as far as other types of difficult services. Of course, the Avodas Hashem is against that. And it said in general, this is, by the way, off topic, but those in the olden days who used to torture themselves, self-inflicted torture, serving Hashem, this was wrong. Those days, yes, for Avodas Hashem revealed the power of his bitterness. A person could accomplish with his bitterness what a second person could accomplish with by lying on tacks, or by rolling in snow in the winter, or by fasting for days on end. The same results could be gotten through an hour of private talk to Hashem, private bitterness. But in order to receive, to accomplish, to achieve an aliyah, an actual rising up in the ladder towards Kedusha, this could be done. A person can feel himself rising through these stories of tzaddikim. This statement by Rabbi Elazar in the Kutei Maran, chapter Reish Lamed Dalet. Here, the Sichos, Elazar told that his own life history, his own experience, he felt that his greatest rise, the meteoric rise in Kedusha, going from one level to the next, was due primarily, beginning when he spent his time in listening to stories about tzaddikim. His parents, Rabbi Nazal's father, Rabbi Simcha, and Rabbi Nazal's mother, Fege, Echa Tzaddikim Baracha, these parents had a home in Mezhebuzh, the city where the Baal Shem Tov lived originally, and this was a gathering place, many great tzaddikim. Many of them students of the Baal Shem HaKadosh. And gathered by listening to these stories, Rabbi Nazal said that this is what gave him the spirit, the fiery spirit, to want to serve Hashem with much more fervor. And this was the primary item, individual, single item, that helped him to rise in Kedusha. And therefore, Rabbi Nazal taught that if a person wants to truly purify his mind, this means that a person sometimes has bad thoughts. He doesn't want them. He tries to shake them off. As much as he tries to shake his head to clear his mind of these bad thoughts, sinful thoughts, he finds that it's a losing battle. As much as he really wants to purify himself, he controls himself as far as the sin is concerned, but he cannot stop his mind from wandering off into forbidden paths. How can a person really purify his mind to avoid these thoughts from coming to him? By these stories of tzaddikim. Listening to these stories of tzaddikim, listening to them, or learning them, special svara about them, the Sipuri Maisius of tzaddikim, or these stories, the svara like the Shvachei HaArizal, Shvachei Baal Shem Tov, or the Shvachei Haran. We have our own, the Vedazal Sefer, which we've just gone through. Life story of the Vedazal, that's stories of tzaddikim. These svarim, which deal with stories of tzaddikim, they are the best key to actually clearing a person's mind from these evil thoughts and to stop these evil thoughts from entering into his mind. Of course, the top level of Aveda is thought, not action as much as thought. A person whose mind is clear, that person can truly serve Hashem. The highest sphere is Machshava, which the Rizal says too is the letters Besimcha. Machshava is the same letters Besimcha. That's why Rizal said that he achieved the highest level through Simcha. Rabbi Nazal said that this is true because it pertains to the Machshava, the mind, coupled with the Sipuri Maizu Dikar. A person can then achieve the levels that he'd like to as a tzaddik. Rabbi Nazal said that this is how Rabbi Nazal became so pure and holy. And Zachar Lamash Zachar. We should be Zachar too. To fulfill this Eitzah of Rabbi Nazal, these Eitzahs, Hekdeshes, how fortunate we are for having these teachings given to us. We should be Zachar though to accept them heartfully and to fulfill them with the true Emuna in Rabbi Nazal. Emuna de Tzadik Emes, and his Chus of that Emuna, that desire for fulfillment. We should be zecher to see with our eyes now the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu, who will lead all Jews back from Golus. Golus means the darkness of evil, the darkness of sin, darkness of Yerida, to the light of Hashem in Atzeinu HaGdeisha, and we'll have the Shechina of Hashem revealed through the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Amen. Amen.